Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hello, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Mike Reed, who's an astronomer here at Missouri State University. Thanks for stopping by, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Mike, you work on stars, I know, but you're also working on transits, and I'm not sure. Reinform us again on what transits are.
Okay, well, that's how we're finding planets around other stars. The planets themselves are too small to be seen, but when they go in front of the star, they block a small amount of that light. And when they block that light, we can see the star get a little bit fainter. And then as the planet travels across the star, it's a very short event, a few hours.
And so this light goes up and down. Now, how would people typically observe that? Most of the work has been done, what, from outer space? Is that right?
All of the surveys have been working from outer space. So Kepler spacecraft was working for about 9 years. Now there's TESS, which is the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. And that's been running. NASA runs that mission. And we get that data.
And so they're taking data on one section of the sky, or does it move around to other sections, or what?
TESS is doing the entire sky, but it does it in 27-day strips. So they only observe one piece of the sky for 27 days, and then they move on.
And will they observe that piece later down the road?
There's no repeating. So they do it once. There's going to be some extension to their mission, so I'm not completely clear what they will be doing then. But for their nominal mission, they're just doing the entire sky once at 27 days of duration.
And so that leaves a lot to be done. So what kinds of things would we do here at Missouri State that would help them out with that beginning 27 days worth of data?
Well, one thing is that none of the planets in our solar system orbits within 27 days. And so the planets that TESS is going to find, they're only going to get one or two transits. And they require ground-based follow-up to determine if, in fact, that's a planet or some detector problem or a binary star system. And so we're using our Baker Observatory to follow up on targets that they think are potential planets. And then we will watch them and get multiple transits, and we can determine the orbital period, and we can determine if it really is a transit or some different celestial event that's not related to planets.
And this work is being done out of Baker. What size is the telescope that you actually use to do something like that?
Last year, we got our brand new Planewave 20-inch telescope, so that we're using that 20-inch mostly. But then we also have our robotic autonomous telescope, which is a 16-inch MEAD, and both of those will be useful for these projects.
Right. Now, there are ramifications. So people are interested in how solar systems develop. So talk a little bit about this whole idea of the kinds of things you're going to likely to be seeing with TESS, and then how that tells you about solar system development.
The main thing that we are interested in is follow-up observations on what they call hot Jupiters. So in our solar system, Jupiter is a long way from the sun, 5 times farther away than the Earth. These massive planets cannot form close in their solar systems, yet about 5% of all transiting planet systems, so solar systems around other stars, have these Jupiters that are in orbits of anywhere from a few days to even 100 days, and we call those hot Jupiters.
And they're close then?
They're pretty close to their parent star, yeah. And so one of the questions is, what happens to the rest of the solar system when they move from being far away to close in to their star? And one of the questions that we want to answer is, are there other planets that still exist in those systems?
So in other words, does this Jupiter essentially, as it's moving in, wipe out all the other participants in the solar system? What would it do? Perhaps scatter them out of the solar system? Is that what might happen?
Yeah, precisely. Since it's such a – I mean – in our solar system, Jupiter has more mass than all the other planets combined twice. So as it moves in, it's either going to throw them out of the solar system, it's going to collide with them and absorb them, or it's going to have them fall into the star and the star will simply absorb them.
Wow. And so you can perhaps constrain possibilities in solar system development. Is that fair to say?
That is the goal, because in our solar system is very organized. We have the rocky planets very close where water, ice cannot exist in direct sunlight. And then we have the gas planets very far away. And so our question is, as those gas planets become very close, what happens to the other sorts of planets?
Great. That's a good summation. Mike, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks very much for having me.
And once again, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.